Hare Krishna. Om Ajnanath Niranjana Nanandana Salakaya Chakshuro Nilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Tasthaya Bhutale Srinate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Vachatya Desatarine. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadhar Sila Sadi Ora Vakta Linda.
Hold it up.
Hold it up. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhar Sila Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
You know what stories and young people told yesterday?
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
He spoke about Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj Dwara,
Aya Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur.
He spoke about the anniversary of the 40th, you know, when Prabhupada came to purchase the building. That's what he spoke about.
Makha Kharati Rajan Pangulangai Tegi Yat Gita Chalang Vande Asigo Nitaino Paramanu Vaga Sri Chaitanya Isra Hariom Tat Sat. Since yesterday was the appearance day of the Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, I'd like to speak a few words about him today, during this occasion, because these Monday through Thursday I had a therapy in the morning, so I wasn't able to speak in the morning, and in the evening Nirantara Prabhu has a schedule looked for Wednesdays. We asked Prabhupada many times to tell us something about Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. But what can I say? He was a Vaikuntha man. So he would law. He said he was a Vaikuntha man. He was from the spiritual world. And the more that we found out about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, it confirmed that he really was a personality who did not originate from this world. He was very much a transcendental personality. He wasn't a manager, like Prabhupada was a manager plus a preacher. He wasn't a manager. So he would have the others do the management for him, like Tirtha Maharaj and others. But he was a very great scholar, and he was a great devotee. So one time, they came to invite him to speak at the assembly of Brahmanas in Medinipur. But they were very much afraid, so that he would use the opportunity to preach about bhakti. So they said, "All you can speak in the Bhagavad Gita." "No problem." He said, "No problem. I'll only speak in the Bhagavad Gita." Thinking that, Barry, you only speak in the Upanishads. He said, "That's no problem. I only speak in the Upanishads." And then they said, "Okay, they came back again. Only you can speak in the four Vedas." He said, "That's all right. I only speak in the four Vedas." Thinking that, "Barry, don't come." So they were very much afraid. One time he came, and his father couldn't come, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so he sent him. So he came, and he glorified the 12 qualities of the Ramana. So he glorified the Ramanas, and all the Ramanas present were very pleased to hear him glorify the Ramanas. And then he said that the 13th quality that the Vaishnavas have of pure devotion to Krishna. So that was, he said, the Vaishnavas have all these 12 qualities plus one more, pure devotion to Krishna. So in one sweep, he praised all the Brahmanas, but then he glorified the Vaishnavas. and he established Elisha on a position. So, Eli's son, he explained that there was always someone in charge of the farm crop, which is the most prominent preachers. Like he said, the first was Lord Chaitanya, and then there was Rupa Sanatan, and then there was Sri Jiva Goswami, and after him there was Srinivas Acharya, and Arjun, and Shyamananda Pandit, like this. So he called that this was the Vishva, Vaishnava, Raj, Sadha, the a universal Vishva, Vaishnava. All the Vaishnavas, the Raj, Sadha, the governing council. And he said that at the present time, who is the guardian of the a message was called the Putra Raj. So he said he was the Putra Raj of his time. So he was there to guard the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So after him, we see that his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, came as the Putra Raj, as the guardian of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Now, there was Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasakura. He had one exhibition in Calcutta. This was an exhibition on the Prabhupada called this the tape. What's it called? The theistic exhibition. But the tape stood for something. So, in the early 1800s, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had an exhibition of all the dioramas of the different pastimes of Lord Krishna. So, he would only charge a very minimal fee to enter. So, many people came and they saw this exhibition. So like that, he was a very dynamic preacher. No one had used art like that before. So since then, we've seen many people have used, but not as expansively as he did. And then I had one assistant who was helping me. His name was Chaku Sheikh. He was a Muslim. And when he was a small boy, he would see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he said, "We kids, we never saw anyone like that." His aunt, he would walk with just his of course, India in the summer is quite hot. So he would walk with his top piece, no shirt, and his arms would go down to his knees, and he would give out sweets to all the kids, all the Muslim kids, any kids. So this Cheko Cheko was, by that time, he was a quite old, elderly man. He was having a white beard, gray beard, I'd say. So he said that when he was a small boy, he used to eat sweets in the hand of the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So like that, he blessed the villagers. And the although the village there, Nayathur, is a Muslim village, they gave very willingly, they gave some donations of land to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So his Ashivas Agan and his a good place of Lord Chaitanya, it was donated by many by Muslims. So about 300 digas or 100 acres were given by the Muslim farmers. So that showed how he was a non-sectarian. He was able to win the support from people all over the world, all over the spectrum. So one time, there was some labor unrest, and it was at the time of harvesting the rice, and so they said, "Well, we want so much money, otherwise we won't harvest the rice." So at that time, the sadhus in the Golden Lot, they didn't know what to do. And so Bhakti Siddhanta said, "Can you tell me where's the rice?" And he took him out and he said, "Here's the rice. This rice is ready to harvest." "Yes. How do you harvest it?" "Well, you take this sickle, this knife, and you cut it. This is how you do it." And he kneeled down and started cutting. "Yeah, okay." So he started cutting. "So why didn't anyone else think of that?" So they all said, you know, kneel down, they all start cutting the rice. And the workers said, okay. When they saw that the sadhus were ready to do it, and then they agreed, okay, we'll take your rice. Which was the market right now. Actually, Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, he had us do the same thing. We were laying the chakra building slab. At that time, the laborers did half the slab, and they stopped. They said that if you don't give us extra money, we won't finish. So if you don't finish the slab, at least up to the deen, then a crack will come and it will be wasted. So Prabhupada said, "I want all the sannyasis and devotees to go out and make the slab." So I was the only one who knew how to run the cement mixer, because I was overseeing the construction every day. So I had to run the cement mixer. I put in the it was one part cement, two parts sand, four parts stone chips. 1, 2, 4. That was our mix. So I load up for the other swamis, and they take on their head and lift up like coolies. So all the Western, all the Americans, like Guru Kripa and others, they're all carrying their sin on their head, telling them Krishna Maharaj. And Prabhupada was laughing to see how his Western disciples were acting like what they call in India, coolies. Of course, we don't use that term here, but there's a quite a common, acceptable term. "Hey, coolie!" Now they call them porter, but at that time they were called coolies. So the devotees, they start laying the rest of the slab, and the workers were amazed to see how these Western people were carrying this land here, laying the slab. So they said, okay, I will take the normal price. So we can see how Prabhupada was following in the footsteps of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Now, from Dhamanand Maharaj, he was like one of the youngest disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was our next door neighbor. So when I lived in the grass hut, at that time he lived like next door. So we went, you know, sometimes we had no one to associate with. We'd go and ask about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he said, one day he was walking with the others and see, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was walking out in the evening and he was chanting Jala and he stopped. He looked up at the moon and he was looking for a long time at the moon. Everybody was looking at him. What is he looking at the moon? What is he seeing in the moon? And then without looking away from the moon, he shook his head. He said, in the moon planet, they have become materialistic. They have become Vahramukh. They're turning their head away from Krishna. We have to go there and we have to preach Krishna consciousness. Hello! And all the devotees are like, go to the moon? Preach? Wow. At that time there was no, 1900 and 30 or so. So there was moon travel. So, like this, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he named his post office as the Sri Mayapur. Now, in Navadvip, they protested. No, we are the Prachin Mayapur. We are the original Mayapur. They cannot name the post office as a Sri Mayapur, name the Holy Mayapur, because we are the Holy Mayapur. So, to adjudicate this question, the British Viceroy, Mr. John Anderson or something, he came up and he heard the evidence on both the sides. So the evidence was shown and how in the Chaitanya Bhagavad it said that the Chankazi are used to hear the Kirtan of Lord Chaitanya in the night. And so the Chankazi's house, ruins, was known even today, the marketplace of the, what's it called? Well, the Chankazi Samadhi, and was it called? Al-Bhavan-Al-Pukur. The marketplace is the old house, ruins of the Bhakti of the Chankazi. So that is known. So to the place of the Ashiras Angan, that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was proposing, it's about between 1 to 2 kilometers. Whereas in Aladip, it's an additional, let's say, 5 or 6 kilometers. So, in those days, there was no amplification. So, for them to hear from 8 kilometers of a kirtan is not likely. I wouldn't disturb his sleep for sure. And But 1 kilometer, 2, okay, I mean, that could happen. So, like this, he took the different evidences, and he gave a seal. This place will be called Sri Lankar, Viceroy of the India, English government. So, like that, at that time, the Englishman, he wanted to take his tea, and the devotees, they said, how are you concerned tea? It's against our regulative principles. He said, get him whatever he wants. He's doing our work. So, they gave him tea, they gave him whatever he wanted. So, this was a Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, that he was to get Krishna's work done, he was ready to do the needful. So, of course, we heard from Prabhupada how when he was attending his 300,000 names of Krishna at the Radhakunda. At that time, Arshila Prabhupada was a grihasta. He came to see him, one of his sons, and he said, they're fighting amongst the sadhus of the Gaudiya. So I think sometimes to take out the marble from the temples and sell it and print books. Please, if you can do anything, please print books for me. So that was inspirational for Srila Prabhupada to print books. And that was the start of the DDT. So Prabhupada told us with great affection how he got this instruction from his our Guru Maharaj to print books. Of course, he also said that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada Thakur came in his dreams and told him to take the renounced order and to go to the West and to preach. So, in 1936, at that time, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur left the world. So I'll talk about that a little later. Hare Ram. There's a lady. So, is he, we heard that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had massive knowledge of Trikamas. He would camp out in the different islands, and in his camp in the center, he would stay with some sannyasis and some assistants. And then around the camp, he built in circles, like a big circle, so that there would be like 10,000 people. Some of the sannyasis and devotees would ride on the horses, like Keshav Maharaj. He was from some royal family, a Zamindar family. So he knew how to ride a horse. So at that time they didn't have a mobile phone or walkie-talkie like we have today. So they would use the horse. And he'd ride up and down on the side and be the horses. The horsemen who would keep them steady in line, keep them going. And then there was elephants, horses, yachts to cross the rivers. They had big boats. So it was like, I mean, where right now the ISKCON is the only one that has the camping out curriculum on. So the others all go and come back in the same day to their mutt. Only ISKCON camps out. So, but this was a system used 500 years ago. I mean, not 100 years ago. By Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But one time he was taking the party to Navadvip. Now, in Navadvip, they have certain temples. If you want to see the deities, you have to take. You have to take something called Vait. Vait means asan. Donation, like that, but it's really a thing. So to see the deity, you have to pay a certain price. Even to this day, they have this date system where you have to pay. But they don't ask ISKCON to pay because our ISKCON devotees, anyway, we get more donations than the date. We told them we're not going to pay a date. But we'll give you donations. So they make thousands of rupees in donations. And they don't make only a fraction of that if they charge. We wouldn't go also. So they let us go free. Otherwise, they have a table there. They sit down, 50 cents to see the leaders. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he is the preach. What is this? Chakra, take your place of lawyer. Show the deity and take money. This is better to be honest, sweeter in the street than to be like a charlatan sadhu. And you show the deities and take money. What is this? Deity is for everyone, deity is for the three. So, like this, he was preaching also. He gave the brown trend to the Vaishnavas. Who were not born in the caste families that normally wore the brown threads. So, the many things he did, which were very dynamic. And so the caste of brownness, at first they thought this guy, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's our enemy. We must do him. So they start to throw rocks on the Sankirtan party, on the Prakram party, from the rooftops. So at that time, I think Kesava Maharaj was not a sannyasi then. Someone was a secretary, but not a sannyasi. He took Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's sarma cloth, his turban, and gave him his white cloth, and they smuggled him out. You know, he ran down the street with his sannyasi dress, so all the caste Goswamis went chasing him, only to find out that he wasn't the real Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The real one had been smuggled out. So like this, they're facing difficulties from the caste Goswamis. Later, at present, there's nothing they can do, and they have become weakened, and the Gaudiyas and the ISKCON is very strong. So now they welcome us. Please come to our temple. So we only go to one temple there, which is the temple that was recommended to us by one of the disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as the deity which was worshipped by Vishnu-priya. So that temple we visit other temples we don't visit. So like this. If you go into the doorway of the birthplace temple, you see on the left side one temple to Sakhi Charandas Babaji. Actually, he was a businessman from Calcutta. So he had invented the ink pill. You just drop one pill of ink into a lot of water, and it would dissolve, and it would form the ink. So in those days, people used the fountain pens. So it was a big thing. Wow, you can take ink with you anywhere, just drop it in the water, one pill, get the fountain pen, and write. So he became a very rich man because he had invented the ink pill. I don't know here in America whether ink pill ever caught on, but in India it was a big thing. So he surrendered at the end of his life, he surrendered everything to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati to the last penny, everything. So as a result, he was given Babaji, and he was a small Sonati temple is at the gateway. So with that money, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur built the birthplace temple, which towers maybe it's 150 feet or so, 120 feet. Like this, at that time, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, sometimes he would have like Dharma Sambhas. And that time, the royalty in India, there was a royalty during the British time. So the king of Jaipura, to name one, he would attend the function. Different, like that, kings and even literature would attend his function. So that time, he had a special woolen overcoat and patent leather shoes. So, if you know, patent leather is very shiny. So, he would appear very much like an English gentleman, in one sense, although it was like he had his big overcoat and his shoes, but he would wear a sort of dress and a turban. So he was very distinguishing looking. So like this, he would dress up for the occasion. He had at that time, he had one of the few automobiles in India. I will please come again. So sannyasis were using the automobile to go to Krishnanagar to buy their medicine and other things. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you can use the car, the automobile, for preaching, But I don't want to use it for just like medicine. At that time, having a car was a very luxurious thing. There was, what year was the car invented? 1914 or something? What year was the car invented? So, there are very few cars in India. India, I think the kings and the British would have a few. So he wanted to use it for preaching. So he told his followers that he had given a different story. I told some of the stories. I think I told this story. But and a Shaligram Diya Vadang Bunga, that breaking the peanuts with the Shaligram Shila. So he would use such a story. Then he tells first the story. There was once a pujari who was, he was atheist, but he learned from his father how to do puja. So he got a job as a pujari for some rich landlord to worship his temple. But he was actually an atheist, a professional priest. So one day someone came up and gave a bag of peanuts in a shell. And this is one thing he really liked. He really liked peanuts. He was a peanut fan. So he couldn't wait. He closed the door and there he had a bag of peanuts. What to break them? Right. So usually peanuts are broken with a stone or a hammer or something. So there was a Shaligram Shila on the altar. So for him, he was atheist. These are just stones. So he took what? Shila. Ogre Darshila or some Narayan Shila. And he took one of the Shilas and he began to break the peanuts. That's where you get the Shaligandhya Vadag Bhagar, breaking the peanuts with the Shaligandhya. Now, for the devotees, such an image is so graphic, it's so horrible, you want to cry. No, no. Stone breaking peanuts. He looks to the window and he sees this guy smashing peanuts with the Shaligandhya. He said, "What? Ah! You demon, you atheist! You broke the door down, grabbed the guy, threw him out." So, this graphic story of breaking the peanuts with the Shaligram Shila, he would say, "You're using the car for sense gratification. It's just like this pujari taking the Shaligram Shila and breaking peanuts. You're using it for your sense gratification. You should use it only as Krishna's property. You should use it for Krishna's preaching." And now everybody has a car, two cars. Not a big deal, but at that time, within 100 kilometers, maybe there's one or two cars. So, like in India, when a helicopter shows up, it's a big thing. I was in a helicopter in Bangladesh, and the guy, he lost his way. He landed down. He asked him, "Excuse me, can you tell me, how did I find my way?" And the people were like, "Wow, a helicopter." So There's very few helicopters. At that time, there were a few automobiles. So he was using some like that. There are a lot of stories I told by Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Some in the other house, at 8 o'clock, I give a class. I told some of these stories. Here I also told, because in Dinsandra, I think, there was his disappearance. So I told some. But he got a whole book. I read the book. So I remember some of the stories. What? So then, in just before his passing, he wrote a letter in Bengali to his followers. He said that if you can expand the Navadvip Mayapur Parikrama, this will liberate the world and I'll be very happy. And it seems like expanding the Parikrama, I want you to also establish a printing press and print books and distribute the books. And by distributing the books, this will be like the Brihat Rajanga. And this is going to reach the message far and wide. And from book distribution, he'll make many devotees. So, not every devotee can live in the temple. So, he also established the Namhata. And so he talked about Namhata. We never hear this here, anywhere in the world. But the last instruction, where he talks about printing books, he also talks about Namhata. So then, he said, from the Namhata, he'll get thousands of people to participate in the Navadvip Parikrama. So it's like there was a circle with the books, make Namhatas, Namhata, make the Navadvip Parikrama, print books, distribute books, make devotees, make Namhatas, they come and make Parikrama. Print book like that. A cycle. So we found that there are many evidences that Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he had also encouraged to do the congregational development. He had about, hard to say, maybe 10,000 disciples. So, many of his disciples were agrihastas, practicing from their house. And not all the devotees were sadhus. I mean, he had 64 temples. So each temple may have had 10, 20 devotees. Maybe the head office had more. But that only amounted to a small fraction of his total disciples. So he also had many devotees in the congregation. He also instructed that to run the preaching mission, his followers should make a governing body. And that the governing body would, he never named any particular disciple as the next acharya. He rather said, managed by governing body. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada, he established a governing body for ISKCON. Whatever Bhakti Siddhanta said to do for the Gaudiya Mutt, Prabhupada did at least for ISKCON. So, reading books, GDC, and so I asked Prabhupada, what about the Navata in 1977? And then Prabhupada told us, yeah, you could also make the Navata. And he gave some instruction. So, Srila Prabhupada, he had tried to follow the teachings of Bhakti Siddhanta Saritakur very carefully, very minutely, and because of him, he came to the West to preach. So that's why we're devotees. At least us who are Westerners. And then of course, he went back to India and Nepal and other places. He said that it is my guru's order that I preach how great India is, and then stand without doing anything and watch India going to hell. So I had to do something to also save India. I left it for my godbrothers, but they're not doing much. So I have to do. So now in India we have maybe 75 to 100 branches. And in India we are recently we've been well, it's the India and Russia. Who wins the marathon? Who wins the book distribution? A few years ago it was Russia. Recently it's India. Before that was Los Angeles. But we're trying to carry out these instructions of Prabhupada, and he's trying to carry out the instructions of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, yesterday was the Alternate Day, the Vyasa Puja. So I wanted to share a few things that I know. I think that I spoke too long, more than my capacity. So at this time, I'd like to, if you have any questions, then I can take your questions. Is there some water? Any questions on the internet? Then I'll distribute some cookies. Whoever wants cookies can get them. I'm very honored to speak about my very dear and beloved godbrother, His Holiness, His Divine Grace, Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj. Chicago window. He was a very strict devotee as a householder. He had six children, and he had a six times relationship with his wife. You just need to go with them some scar. Each one was successful, so that's all he had. He was very strict, Agrihasa. I don't think you'll find many as strict as he was. And then he was a sadhu, and he was traveling around India. So somehow he came to see the Prabhupada, and I think, and then down. So I showed Prabhupada immediately took him and engaged him, and he asked him to translate his books from English to Oriya. So, and then Prabhupada, we went to see Prabhupada in Bhuvaneshwar. When he got some land in Bhuvaneshwar, he sent Gaur Govind Maharaj to be there. And he was, Prabhupada was there. He was translating the works into English from the Bhagavatam. Jai Shri Gaurna Jai Ki, Jai Rukmini Krishna Ki, Rukmini Rakadish Ki, Rukmini Rakanath Ki, Jai Jagannath Valdez Vadra Ki, Jai Phalad Narsinganev Ki, like that. I was his GDC. So I had, when we were staying there, this land was an olden field. There was nothing as far as you could see. There's a highway, a five national highway between all the way to at that time it was called Madras, Chennai, and Prabhupada said here it will be very much developed. The city will develop in this way. You go there now, you don't see any olden land. It's all houses. It's all universities. It's all developed. But when you were there, you were staying in the sitting chair in Jatha. And then the Trinites would eat our dhoti, and you get did by Trinites. It was such a place. So there's something thought that how can this land, you know, this is a barren, forsaken land. But Govind Maharaj took the words of the Srila Prabhupada to heart. And he stuck it out there, and I would visit there as a GDC. I would, and so, and then he built a temple. He was a kind that he invited me. I installed the deities along with him in the Bhuvaneshwar temple. He would go around the world and he would preach. Sometimes the prophet had said that, see, Orisha is a very poor state in India. And the first state in India, but it's a rich culture. There are also followers of Lord Chaitanya and the followers of Lord Jagannath. So we had the Krishna Balaram Deity, the Gaur Nithai Deity, and Jagannath or Dave Sladra. These CDs and Uleshwar. Now, the childhood deity of the Guru Maharaj is a Gopal Jyot. So I went to see that deity, and this deity is very beautiful. So somehow, Guru Maharaj, we were upstairs having some conditioning of the GDC. He later was named also as a GDC. So someone said he's very serious. And he was talking about the Gopal, Radha Gopal. And so I ran downstairs and I saw his lifeless body. And what's his name? Kali Chandramaj was doing a Reiki on the body. And I came and I didn't really know what to do with it. He had gone. His body was lifeless. At that time, we didn't have, I don't know what we have now, but we didn't have then this defibrillator or anything. So I didn't know what to do. He was giving darshan to his followers. He's talking about Radha and Krishna. And all of a sudden, he just stopped. He was gone. So it was a very transcendental way of leading. So, although he left his body in Ayodhya, I think that he had his body was taken to Bhuvaneshwar, and then he pushed to Samadhi was established in Mayapur. So, he had arranged some Padyatra throughout Orisha. And I was supposed to come and preach one day. Somehow, I got stuck in Sri Lanka. And they closed the airport or something, so I couldn't come. And then he said, "We're all waiting for you. What happened?" I said, "I'm very sorry, but in Sri Lanka, due to the war, they had to close the airport, and so I couldn't leave." So like that, he was sad that I didn't come. From the beginning in 1977, when I was named as an assistant to the team, my zone was Bengal and Orisha. So I then connected to Orisha and to Guru Maharaj from the beginning. I could say a lot more over the years, but he was a real sadhu, and everything he did was according to the Shastra. Like he used to have the Nityananda Trayodashi. He would have that was when they established the land. So he would have the 24-hour kirtan. So I asked him, "Where does it tell about 24-hour kirtan?" So he told me that in the song like Govinda Ghosh, or Vasu Ghosh, that there's a song. He gave me the reference that this song tells about the Lord Chaitanya used to do the Nam Yogas, the sacrifice of chanting the holy name. So I looked it up, and there it gives a detailed procedure how you perform a sacrifice of 24-hour kirtan of chanting the holy names. So it was very nice to have this association. He always She, although he lived in like the a grass hut, he when he had a guest house, he had me stay in a had special quarters named for me to stay in the guest house. So like that, he was very kind, and they had established a printing press. That was, I was a DDT, the DDT trustee for Eastern and Southern India at the time. I saw he was publishing the books in Orisha language. They still have their own DDT, but now Gopal Krishna Raj is the DDT trustee for whole India. So these are a few highlights. Jai Govinda Maharaj Ki. If everyone can say a brief prayer for the recuperation of the Anuttama Golti Devidasi. She's a pujari in the temple in Phoenix, Arizona, and she's the wife of the Radha Pran Das. I mean, not be his complete name, but Radha Pran something Das. So she was, she went for what was supposed to be a simple operation, but it became very, they made some mistake, and she went into ICU. She's still in the ICU, but recently her, the devotees here at my authority, different places, have been praying for her, and her heart got a little stronger. So prayers seem to make a difference. So if you would just offer a prayer for Anuttama Golti Devidasi, so please, Krishna be so kind that Rupini Dorgadish and Jagannath Baladev Subhadra and Agordin Thai be so kind to give them, to give her renewed, if it pleased him, a renewed a life so he can continue her service. She's also a mother of two young children, and it's, she makes a lot of devotees. She's a nice picture. So if you can make a prayer, I'll be very much appreciative. Last question. See that disciples think everything is not in mercy of Guru, that I can understand. If they decommit to look up, does that make sense? Huh? Well, not everybody is at the same level. So we take some inspiration from the good example of Sunlight Solid. We may take also some inspiration to not follow of that example by Light Solid. It's like that. Not every Vaishnava is at the same level. So some are very harsh in their treatment. Or some, so we think, okay, he's a, or she's a respectable Vaishnava, but I don't want to act in this way. I want to act better. So like that. We should appreciate that if he has any good qualities, that is by the mercy of Guru or Krishna. Sannyasi Guru's mercy, Sannyasi Krishna, maybe both. Definitely we should be grateful if he has any good qualities. We think that this is by the mercy of Krishna, of the Guru. So this way, we also stay humble. If they think, oh, this is due to my great good qualities, and then we would be considered very proud and puffed up. Or if we take that something, oh, you give a nice class. You think, oh, thank you. Finally, someone recognized me, how great I am. But that's not the attitude we should have. Rather, say someone has the attitude, oh, if I give a good class, it was the mercy of the Guru upon me, or mercy of Krishna to the Guru. So, in this way, we always stay humble. At the same time, we appreciate the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So, I don't know who there is that doesn't think like that, but if there are such a people, well, we don't want to follow their example. At least you should be trying to be a good example yourself. And if someone does not follow that example, it's not something to get frustrated about. It's something that just that you can take note of, that I don't want to fall into this trap of Maya, where I don't appreciate the mercy of the Guru upon me, I don't appreciate Krishna's mercy on me, I think that I deserve somehow respect or pratishtha or worship. We don't want to fall into that a trap of illusion. So, but we shouldn't ourselves get frustrated or, oh, this devotee, that devotee, they don't appreciate the Guru. So what is it, is it like? The right Guru is there, and I don't just go out, enjoy life like everybody else. No. That's not the solution. I mean, there's no reason to be frustrated. It's not that everyone, many now they don't understand. You'll be the good example. You show that you appreciate the mercy of Guru, and in the future, those devotees will remember. Oh, this devotee, he would always appreciate the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So, he was a good example. Let's follow his example, and we shall be successful. So, try to be a good example. Try to avoid being frustrated if you don't think others are good examples. That is bound to happen. That others will not always be a good example. You don't have the control over the others. You can try to influence them, by your example. That's all you can do. Hare Krishna. I say, so, those who want prasanna, come again, one line for men, one line for ladies, and take your darshan of the deities. If you have made your prayer for Anupama Gopi Devadasi, please make it now. Oh, it's the first name of all natural and incidental ingredients.